Also, I can't look at North Redomain without being like, North Redomain.
Honestly, I'm like a transatlantic accent, like an old news timey accent. News coming in from North Redomain.
North Redomain.
Always love any excuse to say no, no, no to tally-ho.
Yes. We do love any excuse to say that.
Yeah. Gosh, tally-ho, you wish you were the hottest club in Colby, but you just aren't. Stop trying to make it happen. It's never going to happen. Hey, everyone. It's Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, it is your happy anniversary week.
Oh my God! Thank you.
It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. 1 year, baby. Doesn't the first year it really flies? Like, can you believe it?
Flies. I can't believe it. I feel like just yesterday I was crying, looking at 20 different swatches of bridesmaids' dresses.
So stressed out. I still sometimes get PTSD from it. I'm like, oh.
I know. My best friend is planning on getting married within the next couple of years. And I'm like, oh, yeah. My God, pick like, one bridesmaid dress color.
You're like, just wait. Your life is really about to be hellacious. But in like a really great way. And such a great, fun way. Obviously, we just both finished watching Bridgerton and like the like marriage scenes. I was like, it's just so funny, like old timey marriages. Like, obviously, most people did it at the church. You went to the church and then you just had like a little like breakfast thing, Mabob.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe there's something to that. Maybe we should all go back to that. But also, like, not being able to dance at your like wedding reception essentially is also wild to me. I'm like, no, it should be a party. So right. I don't know if I like that part, but.
That was the whole thing for me is I was like, I like half of me was like, I just want a quick ceremony, a little dinner and then like bounce. But then the other part of me was like, I want to dance.
I want to dance.
I want to dance the night away.
Yeah.
How often do we get a dance floor nowadays?
So true. Exactly. This is the one thing I keep trying to convince people that didn't have proms like or didn't attend their proms for me to throw them a prom because I just want an excuse to get dressed up and dance. Which is like what weddings are essentially. But I don't know anyone. I mean, I have one wedding in the like next year or so of my life. But other than that, I don't know anyone else who's getting married like anytime soon. And I'm like, I can't wait, y'all, until that. So like, let's just throw a prom.
Let's just throw a prom.
Just throw an adult prom. Fuck it. Let's go. I want to dance. I just want to put on a pretty dress and dance. Gosh.
I know.
Is that too much to ask for? All right, y'all. We are reading chapter 4 and chapter 5 today. Michaeline, you want to hit us with a quick recap of what we read last week?
Yes. So our main character is Emmeline. Her mom had her when she was a teenager. So she has a dad that her mom married 2 years into her life. And then she has a father who, you know, provided the sperm.
Yeah.
Dad was not really around until she reached out when she was about 10. And then he became pretty seriously involved, pushing her to go to Ivy League college, saying he'd pay for it, blah, blah, blah. And then when she got into Ivy League college, he was like, oh, I actually can't pay for this anymore. So sorry. And she has a boyfriend. His name is Luke. He seems very nice, very golden retriever.
Yeah.
We'll see where that goes.
We'll see.
And then there is a documentary crew in the town creating a documentary about Clyde, which we all know Clyde.
We love our Clyde.
And Theo is like an assistant and he keeps running into Emmeline.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
What's up with that, man? What is up with that? We shall see as we enter chapter four,
baby. This one's meaty.
This one is me. Chapter 4 was long. Chapter 5, like, I was in it, and I was like, whoa, we are still in Chapter 4 when we get to Chapter 5. Chapter 5 is not as long, but Chapter 4, she be meaty. Okay, so we enter into the scene kind of like they're already in the middle of doing something. Literally, they're having a little sexy moment. Cute, except not cute, because it like kind of seems like Luke has really been like pushing this issue a lot recently. And Emmeline says, like, you know, to him, I was a dull prude. As far as I'm concerned, he was a sex addict who can never get enough. Somewhere in the middle was the truth, which is probably accurate. Yes. I don't think that she is either a prude, nor is Luke probably a sex addict. He's just a teenage boy and they're all kind of horny all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's like kind of pushing her into doing some things at her house, which she isn't real comfortable with because her mom ran in on them one time, which is another reason why she's like, mom, please stop just like coming into my room. Her mom, obviously being a teen mom, I think was a little like, holy moly, what you doing?
Yes.
So she's like, okay, need to make sure that you're on birth control. And she's like, I never want you doing it under this roof again, which I like don't really love that rule personally, because it's like, same. So you want your kid to, yeah, like it sounds like they've been sneaking off to the dunes and whatever. And it's like, if we're all mature enough to have a conversation about it and make sure that she's on birth control, wouldn't you rather her be doing things in the safety of her own home? I don't know. But whatever, that's just me, I guess. But anywho, so she's like really paranoid that someone's going to walk in on them. And I think honestly, she's just kind of like not feeling it. And so she keeps trying to like be like, I don't know. And he's just like, gosh, Emmeline, don't you love me? You know, kind of giving off like right. those vibes. He doesn't right. say that specifically, but like those are the vibes he's giving yeah. off. And I just don't like it. But yeah, so she was, you know, saying like, honestly, probably like the reason she hasn't been into it has way more to do than being paranoid that she's going to be caught. Like there's just, you know, a lot going on recently, but it's just, yeah, it's just stressing her out. She doesn't really want to do things. But they kind of have a little, you know, they finish up their little lunch break moment. And then she heads over to meet her friend Daisy, which is our first introduction to her. And again, where the Gilmore Girl parallels are just going off yes. here. I was like, so your best friend is like, her mom is an Asian immigrant. I can't.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah, were you binge watching Gilmore? Like, no shade. No shade. I love it. But I'm just like, seriously, it can't stop, won't stop.
I know.
But yeah, we meet Daisy, who seems pretty cool. She's quite into fashion. These Colby girls, you know, there's a bunch of fashionistas. We kind of get to learn a little bit about her, like, history. She moved there in the 7th grade. They've kind of been friends ever since. We also learn how she is actually dating Morris, which is a new revelation. So one of her friends is now dating her other best friend. I do like
surprising, honestly.
Yeah, I was considering. So she says like one of the reasons they get along is because they're both perfectionists. And so it is just interesting that these two like type A personalities are close with Morris, who is like the furthest thing from a type A personality.
Literally.
Bless him, though. I love him. I also love when she's talking about, like, her dress or whatever, and Emmeline's just like, yeah, like, it's a black sleeveless dress. And she's like, it's a vintage A-line, Emmeline. It's a classic. Knows no season. Like, I don't know why, but I just love that line. I was like, yes. And here we talk a little bit, like, this is kind of, like, a major theme so far in this book, especially in these two chapters, about, like, getting out of Colby or being a small town or living in a town where everyone is vacationing. This hit hard for me as someone who lived in Orlando for many years. I was like, yeah, I feel this. When they're talking a little bit about like they have like two different things, great things beyond Colby, and then Ain't Going Nowhere. And she talks about her and Daisy would like go through their like little paper thin yearbook and kind of like talk about the people who are going places and who weren't going places. She said, you know, she herself, when she was going to Columbia, like it was going to be like for sure, like on to great things. And now she's just going to ESU. So like she's leaving Colby, but barely. Also, like, that SCAD gets a little shout-out here. That's where Daisy's going to be going. And I'm like, oh, hey, I know you.
Hey, girl.
Obviously, because that's right in the town where I currently reside. Also, Daisy totally seems like a person who would go to SCAD, so that 100% tracks. Yeah. And then Morris is just going to the old Coastal Tech, which is just 20 minutes past the bridge over to the mainland. A lot of people go there because, again, it's like, you know, which I am a big fan of a technical school. I love that, you know, you go, you get your thing, and if you go get set up for school. It sounds like, of course, these two girls who are wishing for greater things are a little looking down on it. But listen, y'all, technical school is affordable, and it sets you up
for a job. So rock on to all you technical school peeps out there. Respect.
We love that personally. They're at Da Vinci's Pizza, which is like in the same shopping like plaza as Daisy's parents' like nail salon. So it sounds like they go there a lot. They're like regulars, like the guy working the counter knows them. And he's, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, the regular blah, blah. Again, it's all like this chapter is a lot about like, it's a small town. We all know everyone.
Right.
Kind of that. They overhear like a group of ladies who are on vacation talking about like, you know, what happens on vacation stays on vacation, including like hooking up with this guy with a lot of like chest hair and stuff. And so, you know, belly shots and all this stuff. And so this is where Emmeline is saying like, you know, like I wouldn't like that be fun. And Daisy's like taking belly shots. No, that's terrible. And she's like, no, like going on vacation somewhere, like being able to let loose for a week. And I guess this is a conversation they must have a lot because Daisy's like, please don't start up with how the tourists have more fun than us again. I can't take it today. And so, yeah, so she's saying, we can go on vacation. You can be different. We see people do it all the time, but we're always just supporting players in someone else's summer. So we stay the same. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I feel that. And this is one of the reasons, like, for my mental health, I couldn't live in Orlando anymore because, like, it is very hard to stay motivated at your job when your job is like you're surrounded by people on vacation every day. And so then like when someone comes over and is like, hey, you want to take an early cut today? You're like, yeah, like look at these people on vacation. Like I'm
right.
Like I don't want to work. Like these people are like having the time of their lives and I'm working. And then like you're like, oh shoot, at the end of the week when you have no money and I like couldn't take it anymore. And like kudos because obviously many other people are more mentally strong than I am and could live in Orlando their whole lives and work in theme parks their whole lives. But I was like, I can't be a supporting player in people's vacations any longer.
No, especially because like, yeah, sometimes you look at people and you're like, wow, they're having the time of their lives. But most of the time you're like, wow, this person's miserable and they're screaming at me because they hate their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a little mixture.
They spent a lot of money to be here and they built up this like it's gonna be the best vacation ever and then they're miserable. And that is why like the best advice I can ever give to anyone going to the parks, especially if it's your first time, is like don't plan too much. Like go into it knowing that you are not going to get everything done and just like get a sampling, enjoy yourself, relax, it's vacation. Because everyone else is like, we are going to have the best vacation ever. And then they like stress themselves the fuck out.
Right. And then if something goes wrong, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah. And then they take it out on the poor hourly employees.
Right.
Not making nearly enough money to be dealing with your BS.
The college program kids making $10 an hour. Yeah.
Go and pack you old crappy apartment. Well, now they're nice, but they used to not be nice.
I know. Now they're wicked nice. I'm like, okay, Disney.
And I'm like, look at them. Which is good. We like that. We like that the college kids aren't being treated like fleabins. They're still not making nearly enough money to deal with the crap that they deal with, but at least they have better housing. We respect. But yes, it's crazy.
My housing was freaking gross, y'all. It was condemnable. I really think so.
Probably black mold. It's best not to think about it.
Yeah, I'm just not gonna. Probably, you know, I've made it. It's 10 years later.
Yeah, she's still kicking, so we're good. No long-term health effects that we're aware of.
That we're aware of. Jeez.
But yes, it sounds like our girl is just, like, struggling with being in this same place, seeing all these people that gets like let loose for a week, and she can't go down on the beach and just like be whoever she wants to be because everyone knows her, like everyone's in her business. And you know, she's talking about like going to college, and she's like, but even that's different. Like you're going somewhere for 4 years. It's like a semi-permanent situation. It's not a vacation. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's really kind of messing her up. But yes, this is where we get to the counter guy who, like I said, they like definitely know him. They come here often. Daisy gets to the real sitch and she's like, why'd you take a shower? And she's like, oh, you know, and she has to kind of come clean. And she's like, well, Luke and I met up for lunch break. And she was like, oh, my God, like I thought you weren't allowed to be doing things at your house anymore. And you were like too paranoid about getting caught. And she's like, well, there's not a lot of options. Daisy lets her know that other people manage. This is where we learn that Daisy herself is not currently sexually active. Emmeline kind of explains, like, for most people, it's usually religious reasons. But for Daisy, it's just, like, she, you know, like, it's for her family. Like, she just doesn't, you know, want to do that. There's no rebellion, no backtalk, no sneaking a boy home at lunch. These things just did not exist. Mrs. Yee kind of explains that, like in her house, like, they are children, you are the adult. Like, that is how you handle things. Which, honestly, slay, I guess. You know, it sounds like they're doing all right.
There's definitely a happy medium.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, it seems like Daisy is a very, like, doesn't want to step out of line. I know, like, some people, it's like, that would lead to rebellion, having, like, too much restriction, which I agree. Like, I think too much restriction isn't the best, probably. Happy medium for sure. But I don't know. I guess at least as of right now, where we are in this book, Daisy seems to be okay with towing this line. So good for them, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, she does seem okay.
Yeah. Get it, Daisy. Morris and her dad show up. So it does turn out that Morris is still working with her dad because Daisy asked her earlier and she's like, I don't know. I think so. Like, I haven't really seen him show up at 6:30 to go to these, you know, jobs, but maybe he is. So turns out he is still working. He comes over, of course, because he sees his girlfriend and his friend. And then he's trying to, like, yell at her dad to, like, order him things. And Emmeline's like, go up there. What do you do? Like, no, like, you can't. That's not allowed. So he has to go up there. Daisy's a little like, oh, like, don't be so hard on him. Because, you know, she's, like, in love with him now. And then her dad basically lets her know that her father called again. He left a number. And she's like, I don't, like, I have his number already. And he's like, no, this is his cell number. He said, like, it's important. Like, call him back, like, as soon as possible or whatever. So her dad's kind of like, just call him to get it over with. And she's like, okay. And he's like, good girl. See you tonight. And then she goes back in. Daisy's looking at her. So she's like, hey, girl, like, can I make this phone call real quickie? And she does. So her dad does answer right away. She was kind of like hoping to get some voicemail. She doesn't. She's like, you know, hey, what's up? Like, my dad said you called. And I love that he's, like, kind of giving her, like, a little bit of grief here. And he's like, you're a hard girl to catch up with. You ghosted her first, my dude. So, like.
Yeah.
Don't even.
Yeah. You're the parent. Okay.
Yeah. You're the parent here. So, like, okay. She apologizes and immediately regrets it, which, yes, agreed. You should not have apologized because you have done nothing wrong. She asks if everything's okay. He lets her know that Benji and him, which Benji is her little brother, are headed her direction. Apparently, his aunt, who, of course, is how he originally ended up in North Redomane, which is how he met her mother, so on and so forth, has passed away, and she's been sick a while, so they're going down to basically put her house on the market to sell. She says it's just the boy, or he says it's just the boys. Emmeline asks if Leah, her, like, stepmom, will be in attendance, and he's like, no, like, we're just the two of us. Wanted to know if you wanted to meet us up for dinner, just a quick bite. She kind of feels a little like about it, but she agrees, says call when you get close, and he's like, will do, see you soon. And with that, he's gone. Again, no mention of the fact that he didn't show up for graduation, the fact that he made these promises about school and then couldn't come through. Just, oh, yep, my aunt died. I'm going to be in town. Let's meet up for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This guy.
So then we kind of get the dot, dot, dot moving forward to a different time. And she's over at her mom's realty place because she called her and was like, you need to do a towel delivery. But then she gets over there, mom's, like, really distracted and kind of, like, nervous, and she obviously doesn't have a towel delivery for her.
Nope.
And so Emmeline is like, okay, so you know that he wants me to, that he called. And she's like, yes. And so then Emmeline, like, explains to her what's going on. Margot and Amber are both involved in this, which I think is kind of funny.
Yes.
Amber says the most inappropriate things at the most inappropriate times, which is hilarious.
I know. Love that for her, honestly.
Yes. Amber shows up with Mexican food for their mom because she's obviously freaking out. And also, I can't look at North Redomain without being like, North Redomain.
I want to say it in like a transatlantic accent, like an old news-timey accent. News coming in from North Redomain.
North Redomain. The train in North Redomain.
It's so good.
It's so good. Anyway, yeah, Amber's like, maybe he's planning to apologize for being a jerk and win you over and be your favorite parent again. And mom is like not into that. So then, oh yeah, Margot, always the girl boss.
Yeah.
Is trying to get him to like, she's like, here, give him my card if he needs somewhere to rent or if he needs a realtor to sell the house. Like, this is my card. Like, here, take it. You know what? We got to appreciate the hustle, I guess.
Yes. Get it, Margot. I appreciate it. Yeah, I feel like the sisters are not helping here, but they're great comedic relief.
They're great comedic relief. They're very much like Penelope's sisters in the latest season of Bridgerton.
Yes, I love them.
Oh my god, this season was really good, y'all. And I'm
so good.
I love to see there's some queer things in the works. It looks like so.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Oh, anyway, back to the book. So she like observes the lobby, how there's a map that all the tourists come and stick a pin from where they're from. Most of them are like the surrounding states, but some are like LA and Toronto. And again, she's like kind of thinking about how she wants to go anywhere other than Eastview, other than Colby, but like she just can't. Like, you know, this is what she's doing. This is her life. Like, it's like she's battling with it, but she's also like, oh, this is my life. So whatever. So then she goes outside, Daisy's there, and Daisy's like, I thought you were getting towels, and she's like, no, they just can't stay out of my life. So she invites Daisy to tag along for dinner, but Daisy has to work at the salon, so
she calls it gyno. I have gyno tonight.
I know. I was like, what is that?
Doing some bikini waxes.
I've done that once and I didn't like the experience.
I could never, like, the fact that she does that as like a, you know, like a part-time job, I'm just like, I couldn't be me. Like, kudos. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, not to sound like a little prude girl, but I'm just like, that's a lot. I wouldn't want to be up in people's business like that. Also, I'm like terrified of hurting people, and that's a very sensitive area, and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, so Emmeline, like, jokes, like, do you want to trade? Like, I'll do the waxing and you can go out to dinner with my dad. Daisy's like, well, tell him to meet you at the most expensive restaurant in Colby. And she's like, no. So, yeah, Daisy's like, are you going to bring it up? And she's like, no, I'm not. Like, there's no point. Daisy's like, well, he really hurt you, so maybe you should try to talk to him. And she says, if I was any other girl, I would have gotten over it by now anyway. And her friend Daisy says, people are not uniform, Emmeline. There is no such thing as any other girl. So stop holding yourself to some ridiculous high standard. Would you please? It's okay if you're still upset. I would be. That's female friendship. That's fine.
Yes. I know. I was like, oh my God, yes. We love to see a beautiful female friendship. And that was one of those moments for sure.
Yes.
And that's like, also, I think anyone would be upset if their dad did this to them. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's actually a normal human response.
But it's like so instilled in us to be like, we're not high maintenance or hysterical or emotional at all. So like, this is totally fine. And that's like,
it's fine. I'm fine. Yeah. It's like a little like a little imposter syndrome too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I shouldn't be upset about this. Like, you know, whatever. So I'm not like other people have it worse or like, it's not really that big of a deal kind of situation. It's like, no, like you're allowed to be upset about the things you're upset about.
Exactly. But mom apologizes via text, and Emmeline obviously accepts her apology, and she's like, the irony of this was not lost on me as I cranked the engine. Making up with my mom was easy. It wasn't the first time one of us has screwed up and had to apologize. Not even the first time this week, probably. Behavior and apologies could be taught, learned over time, eventually it became habit. But my father and I didn't have that. It would take more than three letters to fix this, which brought me to the real truth, the one that sat on my chest since I heard him pick up the phone. I was thinking that maybe by this point I liked it better broken.
Which is fair. I don't think you have to have a relationship with him. If you want to keep it where you don't, on. Rock on with your bad self.
Exactly. So then she goes to the boardwalk with Daisy. She's supposed to just drop her off and then go do drive-bys of the rental homes. But she's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to walk around with Daisy for a minute. The boardwalk is crowded. A club promoter walks up to them to promote Tally Ho. He's like, free entrance, $2 cocktails, ladies night. And they are both like, Tally Ho is the hottest club in Colby since when? Emmeline says it's probably just means their air conditioner is busted. Hilarious. And then we get a little Abe's Bikes shout out. Yes, Maggie.
Our girl Maggie.
Yes, she's working there. She's taking the rental bikes back from a couple. And then we find out Daisy does the window displays at Clementine's. And she does them like they're very artsy, very like out there. But Heidi loves it because she is like, you know what? People look at the window and then they come in the store. So I love it.
That's true. I love in like two pages, we get so many good Colby callbacks. We get Clementine's. We get to see Heidi and Auden and Maggie. We get Abe's Bikes, Tally Ho. I was like, oh my God, it's everything.
It's everything. I know. We got it all.
Not at all.
The only thing we didn't get was Thisbe.
Yeah. Or Last Chance, but that is mentioned soon, so.
Yes. Then Heidi kind of notices that Emmeline's off a little bit. She's like, Emmeline says, I'm just procrastinating, and she's like, doesn't sound like you. So.
Heidi just knows our girls, you know what I mean? Like, she Heidi's does. Just there. She sees things. She knows things. We love her.
We love Heidi. Yeah, so then we find out, like, she's been doing the windows for a while, and it's like very artsy. She had zombies in bikinis for Halloween. Which a tableau. I know. a tableau based entirely on coal for Christmas, a slasher theme, and deep reds for Valentine's Day. I love it. So she decides she's going to start her new window display, which is going to be dangerous robot themed. Metallics and saws, chainsaw, not chainsaws, but saws and rulers and all sorts of stuff. And she kind of goes into her zone. So Emmeline is like, all right, I'm going then. And she gets in the car and she does her little drive-bys to make sure that nobody is abusing the rental homes by having more people than they should or throwing furniture outside or any of that. And that's that. That's chapter four, baby.
Chapter four, baby. I will say chapter four and chapter five, Emmeline is, again, if we were to give her a TTPD song, it's I Hate It Here.
Yes.
Like, she is so I Hate It Here coded so far.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I think we found your song.
Yes, she is I Hate It Here so much.
Chapter five, baby.
Chapter five, baby.
She only chews gum when she's nervous. Honestly, this sounds painful, the amount of gum she like takes. Like, her poor jaw sounds like it is struggling. So she says that she's, you know, this is not where she wanted to be, but here she is in front of the Reef Room waiting for her father and Benji. They're supposed to go and meet up at the tip later on this evening, so she just has to get through this. She hadn't planned on bringing reinforcements. Obviously, she'd kind of asked Daisy, but Daisy was like, oh no. And then I think she's kind of sitting there in the parking lot, freaks out a little bit, and it goes ahead and calls Luke because he's, you know, I guess like her comfort person. She says that, you know, he could clearly hear the big red in her voice, which I think is such a funny line. And so, you know, he's like, okay, like, let me just take like a quick shower and I'll be right there. So she's sitting there. She goes to open another piece and then she realizes like literally she cannot fit another piece of gum into her mouth. She throws out her one wad and then she sees a Subaru wagon with Connecticut plates pulling into the lot. And she knew that, like, basically Luke wouldn't make it there soon enough. She hasn't seen her dad since the previous September when he was down with Benji and Leo for Labor Day weekend. Benji looks obviously a bit older now. Her dad kind of obviously looks the same because adults don't change that much from time to time. But a 10-year-old will look a little bit different from the last time you saw him. But yeah, so she's saying about, you know, like fast forward to April and the last email that she received from him. And
she, you know, she's talking again about how she's, you know, words struggling. Anyways, she gets out of the car. Basically the gist of what happens next. I'm like, and then she blah, blah, blah. we're recording a little earlier today than we usually do. My brain isn't fully functioning yet. So anywho, she sees Theo just then, and she's like, just my luck. She is stressed AF right now, y'all, and she's like, I do not want to have another encounter with him, so I'm just going to kind of hold back for a minute, so hopefully he won't see me. She overhears him on the phone. He's clearly, like, going into place a takeout order. So then, sure enough, though, he still sees her, and he's like, Emmeline! And she's like, oh, hi, Theo, right? Like, actually, like, oh, my God, I didn't notice you were right there, even though she did. And he's like, we have to stop meeting like this. She says it was a weird line, which he kind of seems a little embarrassed by. But she says, like, him being embarrassed is kind of cute, which also I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's, like, something I think people just say. I don't think it's that weird of a line personally. But she asks him how the Clyde Project's going. And he says, oh, it's good. Like, we're finally getting some people to talk. And he's like, that's not uncommon, though, for there to be a lot of resistance when you go into rural areas and come in asking questions. And it's like, yeah, it would be weird if, like, that guy that, like, everyone knows but is kind of secretive, like, all of a sudden these outsiders come in and they're like, hey, you know about Clyde? I'd be like, why? Who's asking? Is it the FBI? You know what I mean? I would automatically assume that someone's making a documentary. And even if they were, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, has he agreed to this? Like, that's his business. But yeah, so she's like, oh, you know, maybe no one has anything to say. And he's like, I doubt that. Like, Clyde has a real story here. And he's like, people are going to want to tell it. And again, she's just like, I don't, like, is Clyde really that interesting? I don't know why they're so obsessed with him. So just then, our boy Benji, you know, she's a foot taller than last time I saw him, comes running on up. He's grinning. He's really affectionate this time. And she's like, I don't know where this came from. Like, I barely see this kid. But okay. I like when she says, I ruffled his hair because that's what you do with kids this age, I thought. Must be, because he loosened his grip, stepped back, then looked squarely at Theo. And I love that she's like, I don't know, you ruffle 10-year-old kid's hair, right? That's, I don't know what to do with kids. I love that for her. I think that's hysterical. So we learn a little bit about, so she introduces, she's like, wasn't really planning on making introductions again because she doesn't really know Theo. But now her brother is there and her dad is standing there. And he's all like, oh, you're Luke, right? And she's like, no, this is not my boyfriend. This is just some random guy. So she introduces Benji to Theo and her dad. And she's like, oh, like, he's down for the summer. And I feel like her dad immediately, like, perks up from the city. And he's like, yeah, I'm at NYU. I'm studying filmmaking. I'm actually here interning with a documentary filmmaker. Her dad, again, very intrigued all of a sudden. Or her father, I should say. He's like, oh, I know a few of those. Who is it? So he tells her Ivy Mendelsohn. Her father actually does know something that she directed. He saw it a few years back, the Tribeca Film Festival. And I was like, oh, my God, we get it. You're pretentious. So he says that they're there to, you know, do a documentary about Clyde. He's like, he's from here, so we're doing some background interviews, getting footage. And his father's like, oh, yes, you know, that's great. So he's like, are you joining us? I think he's like, oh, yes, she's dumped that small town boy. Now she's dating a boy who goes to NYU. This is lovely. And it's like, no, not quite. So just then, of course, that is when Luke shows up. And Luke really annoys me in this scene, honestly. Like, I'm very annoyed by him. But anyways, so she shows up. He's rattling his keys. She says he's always like a jingler. She can always tell. And he's like, oh, no, I'm, you know, Theo says he's just picking up some food for his boss and, you know, what, right, not. And then just then, you know, they're talking about the fact that, again, the Northerners are like, oh, it's the only place you can go that doesn't have a shrimp burger. And just then, of course, Luke shows up and he's like, shrimp burgers? What? Okay. Like, he's just so, like, small town boy here. Oh, my God. So he shows up. He says, hey, they go ahead and head on in. Again, it's all awkward. Like, Theo's there. Nobody really knows Theo, but he's now somehow involved in this. And Luke's, you know, trying to make his little impression. And he's like, oh, you must be Emmeline's father. This is Benji. Emmeline discusses how, like, kids are just drawn. Like, kids and dogs are just drawn to Luke. Like, he just has that energy. Like, he's just great with 10-year-old kids kind of situation. Because, again, he's, like, golden retriever. So, you know, he's talking about to Benji and stuff. And then again, here he is in front of what could be considered a snobbier tourist. And, you know, because her father is like, oh, it's, you know, really filling on up here.
And Luke's like, it's the snobby or tourist. I think it's the only place that makes anything for their refined palates. And it's like, oh, so awkward. So awkward. Oh, the tension. And then Emmeline, who's like, oh, God, here I am with two people who are kind of snobby or tourists. Like, let me cut this session. And she's like, well, my palate isn't refined, but I love the olive bread. Oh, gosh. Okay. So they head on in. Theo heads his separate way to go get his takeout. And he's like, oh, nice meeting you. And then they sit down and they're talking a little bit more about, you know, the documentary and stuff. Again, her father seems really impressed. And then there's Luke over here and he's like, what's the story with girl jeans? Which is an inherently funny line. Like, that's great, honestly.
Yes.
But also I'm just like, oh my God, what a like small town high school boy thing to say. But that was such a thing. I feel like during like 2008, 2009 is probably when skinny jeans like took real, like, you know, the world by storm is when the millennials really claimed them and then wore them to death until Gen Z told us it wasn't cool anymore. But basically, but it was such a thing for a while that like certain people would make fun of guys who wore skinny jeans and whatever. And I was like, oh, Luke, you're one of those.
Very Dean.
Yes. He was very, very Dean coded. And it, like the way he is with Theo is so Dean with Jess. And I was like, oh my God, yes, he is such a Dean. Not a good thing, buddy. You don't want to be a Dean. Oh, geez.
I feel like this dinner too that they have was also very when Dean comes to see Emily and Richard, and Richard's like a yes. huge dickhead to him the whole time. Yes. This was like giving that energy because he was like kind of judging him for where he was going to school yes. and like the kind of foods he eats and the way he like talks, which is just a very casual, like low key kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I like feel it's like one of those things, like this whole situation is, I don't really feel for her father because I think her father is a dickwad. No. But I like it, on one hand, I'm like, oh my God, Luke, like the girl jeans comment and whatever. And like he is kind of like, oh, cringe. But I also feel bad that he's being judged for that. Like it's just yes. where he is from. It's just who he is. Like there's nothing like wrong with that. And he's not a worse person or, a, you know, not as smart as her father because he's from the North and he went to a fancy school. Like, but then at the same, like you just both of them are like judging the other one in the wrong way. And it's like, really, like no one is better or worse than, but like yeah. Everyone is kind of judging each other. And I'm just like, oh, awkward. It's just awkward. And poor Emmeline is just stuck in the middle.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, Luke is like trying to bond with Benji and Benji's loving it. They're talking about getting shrimp burgers and he's like, oh, Benji, I want a shrimp burger. And Luke and her father's just not impressed. And Luke is like, I am an expert of shrimp burger. Or she says that he's an expert and he's like, yes, it's all about the size and the breading, blah, blah, blah. And then her father, when little Benji, the 10-year-old, wants this shrimp burger, he goes, I think you'd better go a salad and a lean protein. This boy yeah. This kid's 10.
He's 10. When he said that, I was like, oh, step off a ledge, my dude. Are you serious? Like, he's like, you had a burger for lunch. It's dinner. You need this. And it's like, you're on – it's like not really vacation, but basically it's vacation. Like, there are no rules on vacation, first of all. And also, like, all 10-year-olds eat the same thing for lunch and dinner and for every meal because they are 10. They don't have a refined palate. But I was like – what a weird way to like make your kid have such a weird relationship with food. When yes. at 10 years old, you're like, well, you had this for lunch. So now you have to have a salad and a lean protein. I was like, no, don't like that. Don't like that energy whatsoever.
No, me either. Yeah. Especially the phrasing of lean protein. It's like, yeah. Ew. Okay.
Salad. Who's no child? It's like, I want a salad and a lean protein. Get that.
I know, except for like maybe some guy doing like keto or something. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Luke's dad, father is like, where are you going to college? And Luke's like, East U, just like Emily. And he's like all proud. And her father is like upset about yeah. this. But it's like, well, where were you? She can't kind pay of on for you, buddy. Columbia. Right. Oh, and then Leah calls Benji's phone. Yeah. And father is like not super into this situation, but Benji's like, I want to talk to my mom. I'm 10 years old. Let me talk to my mom. And he makes him like leave the table to do so. It's very strange.
Also strange. I'm like, wouldn't you like, in a busy restaurant want to keep a better eye on your kid? Like, yeah, it's annoying that he's talking at the dinner table, but it's his mom. It's not like it's like a little friend or something where you're like, it's dinner time, buddy. We can't talk to him. It's his mom checking on him because he was like on a road trip today. And she's probably just like curious if he's okay. And also, like, you're going to go send him to – like, he, like, acts like he's a middle-aged man like he is.
Yes.
Like, go to the front of the restaurant. And I'm like, no, keep an eye on your kid maybe. Like, what?
Right. It's very strange. And father – does father have a name? Joel.
Yes.
Joel is basically, this is when we find out that him and his wife separated. Benji doesn't know, but he got a cell phone so that Leah and could call him easier. And he said he's going to be getting an apartment in the city, and Benji's only going to visit him on weekends, which seems pretty spot on for this father.
Yeah, sounds like Joel.
Curtailing responsibility with another child.
Left and right, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's his favorite pastime. Seems like. Yeah, Emmeline kind of puts two and two together that these must be like the unforeseen circumstances. Like she masks it out and is like, oh, a few months ago you separated. That's around the same time I found out I got into Columbia. This must be why he can't pay for Columbia anymore. And she's like, I don't understand why he wasn't just honest with me about that, which it's like, yeah, like I don't like you couldn't be like, hey, like unforeseen circumstances, and then just like ghosting her is such a dick move.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also her dad is like totally that person who's like a dickwad who has no patience. Like they're sitting there for like a minute and he's like, is there a waitress around here? And I'm like, oh, you're that person. Hate that. Mm-hmm. Don't like that one bit.
And he orders some like pretentious craft beer, which like of course he does.
Mm-hmm.
White men love craft beer.
Love craft beer. They live for
it. They really do. So the dinner sucked and it was awkward. And I do think it's kind of nice, though, that instead of being embarrassed about the way that her father is treating him, Luke is just kind of like, oh, I actually feel bad for him because he doesn't know how to enjoy life or whatever he's thinking about him.
Right.
So instead of being like, you know, Dean like cries, after that dinner, but Luke is just kind of like, man, that sucks for that guy that he doesn't think I'm cool.
Yeah. Doesn't appreciate a good shrimp burger. He's like missing out.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I respect. Yeah.
He's like he is like the epitome of like a very nice, simple, small town guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But then they're at the tip and Morris says, well, man, that is just crackers. And apparently he thinks this is a phrase that people often use, meaning crazy, bizarre, weird. And she is like, you made that up. And apparently he makes up words all the time. But he is like, no, 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 they're real. I didn't make it up.
I think that he's right. And I will be using, man, that's just crackers from now on, personally.
Same. Let's add it to my lexicon.
Yep.
Baby.
Baby, add it to the lexicon.
So she is in a weird mood. She's thinking about how Benji is like suddenly really attached to her, and how weird, like how everything all makes sense now, like that they're getting separated. It makes sense. And they have this like really awkward end of the meal conversation that we're flashing back to where this is where Luke's like, yikes. And then he's like, oh, we'll pick you up, Benji. We'll go, or she says, we'll play mini golf or something with you, Benji. And he's like, yeah, that's so fun. And Luke does that cute little thing where he's like, she's lethal. And it's like a whole thing. And very cute, very bantery. And then they leave. And she like is trying to connect with her dad like one last time because he's walking away. He looks like tired and old. And she's like, check the doorknobs. at the rental at his aunt's house because they've been renting it. And she says that is the most, that is the thing that gets the most wear and tear in a rental, which makes sense.
I could see. Yes. But now flashing back to the tip, Morris very, I think fairly says like, it's not your problem. And she's like, what isn't his marriage or his relationship with his kid, any of it. And she's like, so, you know, surprisingly, so she's like, why do I feel like it is? And he's like, because he dumped it all on you, totally uncool. And like one of her things is she's saying like, it's not lost on her that the age that he's going to basically be leaving Benji is the age where she like finally kind of reconnected with him in a sense. And so I think like that's sitting funny with her. Like the whole thing is just like weird to her, understandably. But Morris, we kind of learned about his relationship with his father, which isn't great. And it sounds like Morris has very much moved in the like, I close that door. Like, I don't ever want to have a relationship with my father. And I've accepted that, which is great. I think that's totally the right call for a lot of people. And it seems like that's the right call for Morris. So, you know, he kind of understands Emmeline on that level. And you, when you kind of learn things like this, you're like, oh, I get it now. Like why they're friends. Like they obviously do have some things in common. And I think that they do have some like shared trauma that they've bonded over. All of a sudden Luke pops up behind them and is like, what are you guys doing over here? I'm looking so serious. And basically he kind of has the exact opposite response that Morris has. He tells her that, okay, I thought it was here that he explains to her what his theory is.
He does on page 106.
Okay, thank you. So he kind of has the exact, she was just talking about, she's kind of freaked out about her dad and stuff. And he's like, I know it's weird, but the fact that he did tell you, it's kind of cool. Like he's, you know, letting you in. And she's like, into what? And he's like, I don't know. His life, his marriage. I mean, that's progress in some way. Don't you think that after pulling away like he did, he wants to include you now? So, you know, deep down, she thinks no out loud. She says maybe. And it is interesting. Like, I don't think that either Morris or Luke are wrong. Like, they're both valid points. Like, it just kind of depends on what you want to do with it. And I think some of it's kind of shitty. Like, I agree with Morris that, like, you don't need to have a relationship with this man just because he donated sperm. And I also agree that, like, again, if you're the adult in the relationship, you shouldn't be dumping things on your child. Like, that's not really fair. But at the same time, like, I do understand why Luke being like, well, like, you want to have a relationship with a guy now who's actually kind of being open and honest with you isn't that nice. So it's kind of like neither of them are wrong, but it's just like it is annoying that, like, so far we have seen, which again, like, Luke seems like a good, nice, small town boy, but it seems like he's not very good at reading Emmeline in certain situations. Yeah. Like, it seems like her friends and Heidi and, like, everyone else can kind of read her better than he can. Like, he's basically just like in this bit, he's kind of like, hey, my parents are gone. No, we had a nice little lunchtime delight, but you want to come over? Like, she's clearly going through it and was like having a moment with her friend, and he just comes over and is like, it's cool that your dad unloaded on you. Want to go back to my place for sexy times? And it's like, oh, sweet, sweet, simple Luke. No, no, it's not the time.
Yeah, it seems like he doesn't really want to talk about like negative things. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna spin this positively, and then I'm gonna ask you if we can go have sex, and kind of a, because she like clearly doesn't want to as well. Like, she's like, right, maybe, like, she's like, obviously her body language is definitely not into it, but of course they do end up going to Luke's and doing the dirty or doing whatever they do.
Yeah.
And
doing whatever they do.
Whatever they do. The kids do nowadays.
Yeah. The kids are calling it.
Mm-hmm. But afterwards, she's going home just after midnight, and she has to stop at the gas grow to get gas. And who is pumping gas next to her? Some guy in a truck with a fish hat. And then finally, she like looks at him. She's like, hey, Clyde. So we find out this is Clyde. She's like, I heard some people are down here shooting a documentary. And he's like, yeah, I've ignored some phone messages to that effect. And he's like, I'm just really not interested in this. Like,
I'm jealous that the gas grow here in our Lord's year 2013 was still allowing you to pump and then pay in cash. I was like, I feel like most places were prepaid by then.
Yes.
But not in Colby. You could still pump your gas and then go in and pay for it with cash.
Yeah, I can see how a lot of people would steal gas in that situation.
Just saying.
But yeah, as she's pumping gas, she's like, I looked at Clyde, who is as much an institution as Colby as the pier and the bacon at the Last Chance Cafe. But she says he's grown up. He worked maintenance for her grandmother in the summers, ran a framing crew. Her dad was on in high school. He used to own the bike shop by Clementine's, and he owns his little, you know, laundry mill pie shop and laundry mill.
I wasn't even going to call you on it. I was like, but you got yourself.
It's Saturday.
This is why we shouldn't record in the morning, I guess. We're struggling today.
Yeah, this is us recording Saturday morning, y'all, okay? Normally we record Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So
we're a little thrown off today, okay? This is not our normal time.
Or Monday night we record.
Yeah, Monday night, because Tuesday it comes out, yeah.
Laundromat, what the fuck? Anyway, laundromat and cafe. But she's like, you know, she's like thinking about it. He moved back from New York 10 years ago, and she said, on my way to pay, he nodded at me and I waved. From inside, I watched him climb into his truck, crank it up, and pull onto the main road. Maybe he was going back to the sound side house where he lived, or to check on the washroom, the all-night laundromat cafe he owned. Whatever it was, though, it was his business. That's what Theo didn't understand, and what I couldn't tell him when he first started asking me questions. It was one thing for all of us here to wonder about Clyde. This was a small town, and that's what people did, but when someone from the outside started prodding around, it was different. This was the coast. We understood about secrets, and Clyde's, whatever they might be, would always be safe with us.
Hells yeah.
I'm like, yeah, protect Clyde from these douchey documentaries. He didn't agree to this documentary. They should not be making it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if your source is not into it, why would you come down and be asking people? I don't like that. Theo,
I don't like
you
that.
Seem good, but your boss seems not great. Don't love her.
Yeah. Kind of some predatory behaviors here from the boss.
100%. And we don't respect that. But yeah, that is chapters 4 and 5. As a reminder, everyone, we will be off this Chaos Thursday. But next week we'll be back for chapters 6 and 7 and some more chaos and good stuff. Our 100th episode is coming up soon, which is wild to me.
Yes.
So get excited for that. I'm excited personally. And as Morris and Emmeline say to each other, talk later, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Keep on keeping on. Happy anniversary to hashtag Michael Andrew forever.
Yay!
Yay, love. Bye.